This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
Yes, yes, it's so good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, open innovation. I'm your host. I'm Colonel Mason. In the first half hour, we've got a real treat for you. We've got Ed Hightower. Ed Hightower is a successful technologist in the wireless data, machine-to-machine, and Internet of Things domains. And he's going to talk about the Internet of Things. He's going to be speaking at the IEEE MetroCon conference sponsored by Lockheed Martin. And that's going to be held actually on the 26th of October. This is the 30th annual conference. If you want to know more about the conference, you can find it at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link for MetroCon. And he's going to be opening session, as a matter of fact, at 8:30 in the morning. Going to be held at the Arlington Convention Center on the 26th of October. You will not want to miss this. He's going to give us an insight about how it's going to go in just a minute or so. We're going to check in with him on the telephone. And just a fascinating subject, the Internet of Things. Absolutely. And, of course, we're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from somebody a lot of us never heard of, visit our Fountain of Useless Information we keep here on the set in the second half of the program. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. We also have another treat for you. We managed to catch up with Dr. Dashuan Feng a couple of months ago. He was visiting relatives in the Dallas area, and I managed to run into him in a restaurant over near SMU, Southern Methodist University. And Dr. Feng, of course, was with the University of Texas at Dallas for a number of years, and then went to Taiwan, accepting an assignment there, and then finally accepting an assignment in Macau, and that is China. And there were some incredible difficulties with that. I'm talking about how Macau needed more land so it could grow, and so Dr. Feng is going to tell us all about that. That's going to be coming up here a little later on in the first half hour, and then the entire second half hour, so look forward to that. All right, let's get on with our program. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. This time we're going to go to the phones, and I want to introduce you to Ed Hightower. He is one of the track chairs for the MetroCon conference going on the 26th of October. You can find out more about MetroCon at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link. But he's going to be the first speaker at 8:30 in the morning on IoT and low-power wide area networks. IoT, of course, is the Internet of Things. Ed Hightower is a successful technologist in the wireless data, machine-to-machine, and Internet of Things domains, and we're real lucky to have him with us. Welcome to the program, Ed.
Great. Yeah, glad to be on board, Colonel.
Now, tell us a little bit about what your presentation is going to contain.
Well, great. I spoke last year, and a lot of things have happened since that time. The Internet of Things is an evolving set of technologies, and it's very rich in all the things that that make up the Internet of Things. And I actually break down the Internet of Things into three different areas: the devices, the connectivity part, and then the back end, which typically computer systems and software and whatnot. With my expertise in wireless, and particularly machine-to-machine type communications, I focus on that central part, the connectivity part. So that's what I'll be talking about during my presentation.
All right. Well, give us a little tease here, a little preview. What are some of the things that you're going to want to highlight and have your audience take away from the presentation?
Okay. All right. Great. Yeah, it's really exciting because the Internet of Things has actually been around for a long time. This is a new term that's come out here in the last 4 or 5 years. We've known it for a long time by other names, machine-to-machine, sensor networks, control systems, industrial Internet type of things. But the actual first Internet of Things application or device was a telegraph back in the 1840s. Mm. And since that time, then we've created other systems that have been based a lot on wired systems that are out there. And I've realized in the last 4 or 5 years that most of our devices that we're going to digitize, the physical things and objects in the world that we're going to want to understand what their status is and what's going on, and to control them, turn things on and off, and be able to actuate different devices, this will all be done by wireless communications. And what I discovered about 4 or 5 years ago is that low-power, wide-area networks are going to be a very key component in enabling us to grow the Internet of Things. The prediction by Ericsson and Cisco was that we've reached 50 billion devices here in the next 5, maybe 10 years, and will go beyond that. To be able to do that, we've got to have some sort of wireless technology that's robust and scalable. And that's what we're going to talk about, low-power WAN, wide area networks, LPWANs. It's a wild west out there right now, and there's like 6 major approaches or key approaches to enabling low power WAN systems. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to compare and contrast between companies like Sigfox and LoRa. The waitlist N is a Nancy standard, the waitlist P is a Paul standard, RPMA from Ingenu, and then the cellular guys, their NB, narrowband IoT approach. So I'll give people a good idea of what each of those technologies can do, their pros and their cons, and that kind of thing.
Oh, it's going to be fascinating, Ed. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure everybody else is too. And of course, we hear that South Korea, of all places, that was nothing a number of years ago when they had their war with North Korea back after the Second World War, and we were so involved there, they were just broke. But now they are leading, they are a leader in the world in the Internet of Things. I understand that they sometimes refer to their country as the Republic of Samsung. and I hear that when your car pulls into a building's garage, a sensor reads the license plate and lets your host know that you've arrived. And another feature monitors the weather forecast and warns you to take your umbrella. And if you're a resident or a trusted a guest, facial recognition software scans your face and lets you in. And of course, a smart lit toilet is fully Bluetooth accessible. So if you need to wirelessly open the door or summon your car or order an elevator, and scan a visitor's face, all from the comfort of your bathroom toilet, it's just amazing what's going on in Korea. Now, why is the United States haven't reached that level yet?
Well, a couple of different things. Politically, they have a very focused government that they can really, like you say, it's the Republic of Samsung. That's one of the major technology companies there. So the government gets behind that company there and really helps them and other technologists, but helps them to really move their agenda forward. The other thing is that here in the States, we have so many different ideas and ways of doing things, and we have institutions that already exist or systems that already exist that are very powerful and satisfy our needs in a lot of ways. So introducing innovative concepts and new approaches takes a little time to get footing and get proven out. And that's what's happening right now with the Internet of Things. With low-power wide area networks, the cellular folks have had 2G for a long time, and so that's what the majority of machine-to-machine wireless type of communications have used for the connectivity part, and that's momentum. But they've now kind of shot themselves in the foot. The United States is taking down, all the carriers here are taking down their 2G networks. And so that's enabling a new technology to get a footing. We have a window of probably about 4 or 5 years before the cellular guys get their new technology proven out, their new approach, their NB-IoT approach, or whatever they finally decide on. Mm-hmm. The low-power WAN guys have a chance to get momentum, get market share, and prove out what they're capable of doing. So we lag behind in some ways, but in other ways, we're very innovative as a culture. We'll come up with ways that we will eventually, if not leapfrog, we'll at least catch up to and add features and capabilities to what the Koreans are doing. And so it's going to be a very interesting race as we move forward.
Well, as you said, you compared it to the Wild West out there, and that's, I guess, what we have to look forward to and what we're experiencing right at the moment. There's so many things going on, and you've really assembled, I understand, a very impressive track of the Internet of Things that's going to be featured at MetroCon, and I know the promoters, the organizers of MetroCon are very, very, very happy to have you and what you've put together so far this year.
The other two people you'll really enjoy interviewing is Jeff Smith, Dr. Jeff Smith. Fascinating guy. You get him on a roll, and he'll tell his stories and give you insights into things. It's just a regaling kind of speaker. I thoroughly enjoyed listening to him a couple of times. The other guy is Kurt Kelly. I've known Kurt maybe a couple of years now, but he recently spoke at an IoT breakfast that I put on each month, and he talked about blockchain, and it's more than just for cryptocurrencies and, you know, Bitcoin, that kind of thing. It's for anything you want to secure. Internet of Things is what he was talking about. Just fascinating. The two guys, I think you'll really enjoy those folks.
This is the 30th annual conference, but doing it for 30 years at MetroCon, and this is a big deal this year, and the Internet of Things, I understand, is a real proud feature of it. So I know we really appreciate the doing of it. And the purpose of this, having you guest on the program, is to sort of preview that and sort of give people a taste of what they're going to hear and see at the conference. And I think you've kind of done that. Now, what have we missed? What have I not asked you?
Oh, wow. Well, what's going to happen here over the next 5 years, we're in exponential times. So what's possible now, and you talked about some of the things early on that we're able to do right now, and we're seeing voice recognition come online, and we're seeing how different sensing capabilities out there can add convenience and capabilities or things to our life that enrich our lives. We ain't seen nothing yet. With the exponential times every 2 years, not only are computers doubling in their power, but you've probably got 8 to 10 other technologies that are on that exponential curve. So what we think is not possible now, in 2, 4, 6, 8 years from now, we'll be blown away at the capabilities. And one of the things that's going to be adding great value to our abilities is artificial intelligence, the machine learning kind of capabilities that are going to be on the back end. So as we begin to sense the whole world and understand what the status is, where things are, how things are operating, we're going to be able to start predicting things that need to be fixed before they break down so that there's no interruption of service. We're going to be able to make our lives much more convenient and easy and be able to handle situations that right now are just very, very challenging for us, because we'll have data to work with that's going to be discernible by these artificial intelligence engines and give us insights that we didn't ever have before. So we're just on the cusp of some really exciting things.
And it's going to be constant development. It isn't just like we're going to look forward 5 years and there we are. We're going to be looking forward 5 years and there we are, and then we can look forward 10 years and we're even further. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. And if things are doubling, then keeping up with this is going to be a real challenge. So that's going to be the thing that we're going to have to look at. How do we harness these powers for good, and how can we stay ahead? I choose to look at the positive possibilities and the impact of these technologies. So people like us, like you and me, that get it, that understand the power of technology and what it can do, we need to make sure that we use it for the right purposes and move forward to enrich and enable our lives, not enslave us. So it's going to be a challenge, because, you know, there's two sides to every coin. just a matter of how you use things. And I choose to believe that we're going to be able to do very good things with it going forward.
Yeah, well, novelists and futurists have warned us for years that we get this technology and then it somehow gets away from us and creates the monster that we can't not control. And you think that we're going to be smart enough to not fall into that trap?
Yeah, I believe so. One of my heroes is Peter Diamandis, and he has spoken on TED before, and he talks about these exponential technologies and how they can be used to solve mankind's great challenges. And I believe, and that's what I want to do. I want to help people understand these technologies, and that's why I've been involved in the technology, this society, this group up here, this community in North Texas for the last 30 years. And I enjoy and love being able to share and help these people to understand what these technologies can do and enable them to use them for good going forward.
Well, you alluded before about Moore's Law and about how we're doubling our capacity of computing power all the time. But there are those who believe that certainly Moore's Law is finite and it cannot continue. Do you hold with that?
No. I think we're too inventive. We will take different approaches. So Moore's Law has gone along the line of microprocessor chips and making the transistors and the circuitry smaller and smaller and narrower, that kind of more chips, more of those elements on the chips themselves. But there's several other approaches that we could take, and I haven't had a chance to dig into them, but I was just reading the topic, the headline the other day. So if we're locked into one way of doing it, yes, we'll hit a wall. But because we're very inventive people and innovative and all, we'll figure out a way to get around that. And so we'll find ways to be able to continue on that Moore's Law. So, I don't believe it's going to hit a wall.
All right, Ed Hightower. Fascinating. We're going to really look forward to seeing you on the 30th Annual Conference of MetroCon, the 26th of October at the Arlington Convention Center. More information on that at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz, and we'll really look forward to that very fascinating track of the Internet of Things and hearing Ed Hightower do his talk. And Ed, I know that during the course of your life, you've mentored other people. In fact, I think you're in the mentoring business right at the moment, and people have mentored you. Do you have a quick words to live by, sort of a creed of life that you want to pass on?
Well, you know, I've always believed that, what karma and what goes around comes around. I learned a long time ago, early in my career when I came here, I got laid off one time and I was involved in trying to look for a job. And I got involved with here in North Texas, we have an incredible support system for people that are in transition. And I learned there that the more people you help, the more you get helped. And it's not necessarily from the people that you help directly. It's the fact that you're helping the community and people recognize that, help you. And so I try to do that in my professional world as well. The more people I can help, the more that I will be helped along the way, and it's proven out for me. There's a friend of mine that his philosophy, and I think it holds very good. If I do good, I will do well. And I think those are good words to live by.
All right. Ed Hightower, successful technologist in the wireless data, machine-to-machine, and Internet of Things domain, going to be the lead speaker on the track of the Internet of Things at 8:30 in the morning at the Arlington Convention Center during MetroCon, the 30th annual conference. For 30 straight years, MetroCon has been the highly respected spot to be immersed in new ideas, and Ed is going to help that along this year, as we've been doing for 30 years. Thanks, Ed, so much for being with us. We really appreciate your taking the time.
Great, Colonel. Thanks for having me.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast, at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, moving right along. Well, as promised, we caught up with our old friend Daxuan Feng, Dr. Daxuan Feng, when he was in town a little while back, and at a restaurant near SMU, Southern Methodist University, for those of you who are not familiar with Dallas. And Some of you remember Dash Wen Fang very well because he was attached to the University of Texas at Dallas when we were doing a lot of nanotechnology investigations, and later he was assigned to accepted an assignment to Taiwan, and then finally ended up in Macau, China. And so, excuse the noise a little bit. We're in a noisy restaurant, and our producers tried to filter out a lot of the noise, but you can still make out what he has to say. And of course, as always, Dashuan Feng is most interesting indeed.
I moved to Macau about 2.5 years ago after I completed my 7 years in Taiwan as first the senior vice president of National Cheng Kung University. I think you interviewed me, and later another 3.5 years in National Tsinghua University. And I obviously learned a great deal about Asia during those 7 years in Taiwan, things that I probably would never learn staying in the U.S.
It was a fascinating time for you, I guess, wasn't it? When you went to Macau, it had to be totally different from what you saw in Taiwan. And in a little bit, I'm going to want to hear about your book, and then I'm going to want to hear about your One Belt, One Road and things. And right at the moment, I understand you're traveling. You're back here in Dallas to speak at the University of Dallas, at University of Texas at Dallas. And then you're going on to speak at Harvard. Is that right?
Harvard Law School. Yes. So those 7 years in Taiwan gave me a new perspective of Taiwan and of China in general, understanding the complexities of the Chinese history at this moment. And I think it is very important. You know, I love the United States. It gave me an opportunity I probably would not have otherwise. But I also would like to have a country, I belong to a country like the United States, to understand the world, which I think that the U.S. deserves to do so. And ultimately, I think the prosperity of the United States would depend intimately on how much it understands the world. And I have a feeling once I got to Asia that understanding is ebbing. And it's a little worrying that the U.S. don't seem to have a deeper understanding of cultures, of civilizations, other than those here.
And I wanted to ask you, then that leads me to the question about the Pacific Partnership that was negotiated by President Obama and now seems to be in jeopardy with President Trump.
Yeah.
But that excluded China, I think, didn't it? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Well, I suspect, I'm not a political scientist, but I suspect that Obama did that without China. To me, it seems like a strange decision, because here's essentially saying I want 95% not in it, okay, and I want the 5%, or maybe 95 is too large, maybe 80% is not in it, and the 20% in it, and it gives people the feeling that the U.S. is trying to block China out.
Well, that's what I was thinking, that it looked like economically we wanted to be a challenge to China. Was that what he had in mind?
Well, I can't. You have to ask Obama, of course, but I suspect that if as an amateur looking from the outside and seeing how profoundly large China is, and not to have China in TPP is a very strange decision.
So the conversation went on at the busy restaurant with the very, very interesting insights into China from Dr. Dashuan Feng. And we have to break now at the half hour, but when we come back, we're going to continue the conversation, so I hope you stick around. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Science News Radio Network special presentation, Promise of Tomorrow, with Colonel Mason. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online anytime, webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. Who in the Den of Strangers will we meet today?
Taffy Brodesser Ackner. We need to know that instinct is no substitute for the neutral evaluation of a hypothesis, and we need to be willing to be wrong when we are confronted with contrary data.